Tonight we're going to talk about being kingdom-minded. Because, you know, sometimes you think about the fact that the word says that we are a royal priesthood, and that we are kings and priests. And sometimes we got to realize, what does that mean? You know, and some because you get to the point of what does it mean to be kingdom-minded, or what is the kingdom of God? And, you know, we're just going to look at a couple of things, and I like the fact that the word, you can read something 1,000 times, and it'll speak fresh to you each and every time. So I was going to turn to Matthew 16 for a second. Matthew 16. Now, I think it says King James, but maybe we'll go with New King James, Luke. And I didn't put anything in New Living Bible. I know Pastor likes the New Living Bible. Well, my studying today was in the New King James, so that's what we got. Well, actually, I just have it here. So let's go to Matthew 16, 15 to 19. Like I said, I know it's not the people back there. No. Okay, I'm just going to read it and we'll catch up. Or they'll catch up. He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then I want to focus on the last part. It says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I love this scripture because he says, who do you say that I am? And so, you know, the Lord is, who do you say that I am? And that's part of the thing is it's always, like we hear a lot here about confession. Because it's so important is, who do you say that God is? Is he your Savior? I believe we're all born again. Then we know that he is our Savior. But is your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your prosperity? Who do you say that he is? But I love the fact that it says, say. Not who do you think I am? Who do you maybe wonder about who I am? Who do you say I am? You know? And then at the end he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And I used to wonder, what does that mean? Keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys, as my wife said, and we were talking, keys unlock a door or whatever. Keys unlock something. And I used to think, well, maybe it's a principle. But it's not just a principle. It's the fact that he's given you a concept to unlock the kingdom of heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? We know it's a kingdom or the domain of a king. So he's saying, here's the key to unlock your dominion as a king on this earth, as a child of God. Then he says, whatever you say, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So our key is whatever we say. And sometimes we're like, well, is it that simple? Yes. God does not try and make things complicated. He wants to keep things very simple because he knows that we are very simple. Sometimes as believers, we start to complicate God. We start to not have a full understanding of who God is. You know, you get on these pages, and I've seen, you know, Facebook posts or whatever, and you see, I saw one that had like a line that had where I am now and my plan. It was a straight line. And then it says, but God's plan, and it's got the person doing this. Now, I always stop myself before I put a comment and say, why do you think that God has a sporadic, confused, complicated plan for your life? What do you think your plan is easy? Maybe your plan is the one that's confused and complicated. Or maybe it's like Pastor Todd a few weeks ago. Maybe we as believers haven't heard God, and God's trying to get us on the right plan of our life. And it's us that's going like this. People, why do we, like I said, I know most of us here don't, but you listen as believers, and I used to, before you get into good teaching, why do I blame God for things that don't go right? God did it. Oh, you're going through something, trouble? God put me in whatever the situation was. No, it's like I got in debt because I decided to rack up the credit card. I got in debt because I wanted to buy a new car and impress the girlfriend. I got in debt because I wanted to do something and spend the money, right? It's a very simple way to get out of debt. You make this much, spend this much, then you have this much to pay extra. If you're making this much and you're spending this much, you're going to be in debt. Simple. Well, why did God put me in debt? Why do you think God put you in debt? You know what I mean? The kingdom of God is very, very simple in the fact that we get what we say. And so how do we loose or bind things as we speak them out? We get to the point that we realize that we are life-giving spirits, the same as God. I didn't say we were gods. We are life-giving spirits. What did he say to Adam? I'm going to give man dominion on the earth. Then it says Adam named everything. So Adam spoke out the names of everything. Adam had dominion. God gave him two things. I'm going to give you dominion. I'm going to give you seed. All the things in the earth have seeds. And then I'm going to give you dominion. And then Adam spoke. Whatever he called the things, it became. You know, we are, and as believers, we got to realize that we are not what the world says God is. We are what the Word says we are as believers. Matthew 15, 17 to 19, Jesus says, do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into drop? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And then he said they defile a man because of the context, but they can also bless the man. Proverbs says, life or in death are in the power of the tongue. Then God even gives us the answer. Choose life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your life is in the power of your tongue. What I am today is what I spoke in the past. What I'm speaking today, I will get my life in the future. Because you know what? When I first got saved, I used to sit there and I said to the Lord, Lord, I really enjoyed being married. Even though it didn't work out, I enjoyed being married. And I said, like, Lord, I'd love to get married again. And I spoke it out. I want to get married again. Don't necessarily, you know, want to get an Italian woman that's 5'2". But, you know, I enjoyed being married. But I was speaking these things out, you know. And it's interesting because you get what you say. So I love the fact that, because, you know, he even says, the word says, can salt water and fresh water or bitter water and fresh water come out of the same fountain? And that's what it means about being double, like you can't be double-minded. What are you chuckling at over there? You know, because if you sit there and it says, you know, don't be like double-minded. And that's part of it is what we say. So, Mike, the keys to your kingdom are what you say. So, you know, we talk about confession, like say a lot in this church. But how many times, and I've caught myself doing it, not knowing better. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2:24 works for me. Or 2 Peter 2:24 works for me. By stripes, I'm healed. Oh, my back's sore. Well, what'd you just confess? You get fresh water or bitter water? Fresh water or bitter water? I have a headache. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we don't have to deny the problem, but we always speak the answer. Amen? And that's why we have to stop being double-minded, and we have to make sure that we have the same water springing forth as we go through. So the kingdom keys to the kingdom are what we say. And I love it because how's the first thing we do as a believer to get saved? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. First way to get into the kingdom is by what we say. And, you know, I like the fact that it says in Ephesians 2:8, for we are by grace you are saved. Is that me? Is it too high, too low? Don't hit it, okay. No. So by grace you are saved through Jesus Christ. For grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. And I like that because, you know, like I said, we were talking about keys. My wife said key unlocks the door. But it says that by grace I'm saved through faith. So faith is like a door. That's the entrance. Faith. By grace, I am saved through faith. But to unlock that door, thank you, Lord. I believe that you came. I believe that you were born of the Virgin. Thank you, Lord. I believe that you died and was born again or resurrected 3 days later. I call you Lord. Unlocked it by faith through into the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? Same concept as believers. By faith, or through faith, I believe I'm healed. But the key, 2 Peter 2:24. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. But sometimes, and I make the same mistake, I thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. But then I back up because I say the wrong thing. I'm believing, Lord, that I'm debt-free. I thank you, Lord. But then I say, well, I don't know why I don't have any money. Thank you, Lord. So what happens is we end up going back and forth, because we have to stop being wavering in what we say. But the kingdom-minded, is the key is, you will bind on earth, you will bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. It's pretty simple, but we, like I say, we sometimes make it very complicated. You know, Acts 8, 12 to 13 says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. You know, he was preaching the kingdom of God. And usually preaching the kingdom of God is that we preach that God is good. Jesus came, he paid for your sins. We preach the good news. It's all verbal, preaching the kingdom of God. We preach God loves you. God will set you free. These are things that we preach, the kingdom of God. We preach, you know, all the stuff that God has, all the stuff that the Word has. We want people out there in the world to know that God loves them. God will set them free. God can heal them. God will has paid the price and ransomed them back. God wants to call them daddy or Chuck. God wants them to call him Abba, daddy, you know. It's the fact that he wants to love on people. So what is preaching the kingdom of God? It's speaking the good news. And then it says that they were drawn to that. You know, it's like if we're believers, and like I say, I made the same mistake when I first got saved. You know, me and my roommates are all believers, but we're out there whining about work, complaining about this, talking about that. Blessing and cursing should never come out of the same mouth, right? That's what the Word says, especially as a believer. Why do we always say negative things about things? We should never complain. We catch each other because, you know, we're human. And all of a sudden, it's like the thing, we'll do something in my mind, like, that's enough of that. It's like, okay. You know, we had friends that we used to play cards with, they were believers, and we were talking about that the other day. But sometimes me and him will get off, as men do, different things. And all of a sudden, one of the ladies will say, that's a nice shirt. And we know, okay, it's time to change the subject. Because, you know, we all need somebody to come around and lead us and say, you're going down the path. Because, you know, it might not be talking about healing, but if I'm believing for healing, but I'm complaining about the guy I work with, right, as a believer, it's confusing. It's like it's not confusing people, but it can be confusing me in the sense of my inner man. Because I'm supposed to be speaking life. I'm supposed to be speaking forgiveness. I'm supposed to be speaking love and blessing on people. Not cursing the guy at work and then coming home and then telling the other guy how good God is. Nothing worse than believers that sit there and say, you know, I go to church on Sunday, and then they sit there and whine and complain and talk negative the whole day on Monday at work. Because I worked with that, because I used to be one of those guys. You know, talk about this, talk about that, because I didn't know any better. Now it's like, we have to watch what we say. You know, in Luke it says, so one of the things about the kingdom is it's through faith. That's the door. What you say is the key to unlock the door. It's everything that we learn about what we are or who we are in Christ is on the other side of the door. Because it says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. You have to have hope that you want whatever the Word says you have, right? Like I said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not waiting to be. You are the righteousness of God. I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. The Bible says you are. If you're a believer, you are righteous. You'll never be any more righteous than you are right now. You'll also never be any less righteous than you are right now. My son is a McQuaid. He's my son. We might get into an argument, and let's say he gets mad and he doesn't want to talk to me for 5 years. He's still my son, right? Our relationship or our fellowship might be affected, but he's still my son. It's like God, you might get mad and walk away from God for 5 years, but because your fellowship has been affected, but your relationship with him, you are still who you are. What we have to do is renew our mind back to what the Word says about who we are. You get back into fellowship with him. You know, I like it in Luke 12, 30 to 32. It says, seek, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. But your Father knows what you have need of these things. So rather, seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added unto you. And that's the thing is, you're not going to believe for healing if you don't know that the word says you're healed. You're not going to believe for prosperity if you don't know that the word says that God wants you prosperous. You're not going to believe that you can be set free and delivered unless you know the word says that you can be set free and delivered. If you don't know what's in the word, then you don't know what God has for you, right? So that's why you got to seek these things. You know, it's like I can sit there and I got a truck, like most cars these days, got remote start. Okay, our parking lot's not that big, but if I was like at Eaton Center Mall in Toronto, and all of a sudden I said, okay, you can have my truck. And so I threw him the keys. He's got the key. The truck's there, but I'm like, it's outside. So now he's got to seek to find out where his blessing is. You got to seek it. You got to go around. These days you'll hit the horn. You know, I've seen people do that. I've done that. Where's the car? The problem with us, though, is we had a car that's this big, as some of you know, with no remote start. So we lose it because it's behind another car, you know. And so, but the thing is, he says seek something. Because if you got to go something, you have to go and seek what the Lord has. Like Brother Hagin says, it doesn't fall on your head like ripe cherries off a tree. You got to find out what the word says you can have, right? And then it says to seek it, you know. I like the fact that it says it's also that it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you he's already given it to you. He wants you to have it, you know. And we got to realize that it's there. And we got to seek out, what are you believing for? And he said, in Luke 13:18, he said, what is the kingdom of God like? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, cast it into the ground, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in. And then Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So the kingdom is like a small, it doesn't matter how small, as we've heard, but the mustard seed is small. But did you know that a mustard seed will grow, not necessarily tall, but they'll grow like maybe 10 feet, 12 feet tall, but they'll also grow quite big. But they'll also do it in 120 days, 90 to 120 days. That's very fast. They are also an annual. They have to replenish every year. Sounds like manna. Sounds like you have to get into the Word of God every day. You have to replenish yourself quite often. You can't, you know, like me, I can't live on the Word that God gave me last year. I got to live on the Word what He gave me this morning. I got to get into the Word of God, get into your devotion, find out what God has for you today. Because if you've grown or changed, then the Word God has for you today will be different than what the Word He had for you last year. Because your life's changed. You've grown. Right? So it's going to change what He's given you. That's why I said you could read something in the Word 100 times and it'll speak differently to you. Usually it's because as believers we've matured and we find something else out. You know, so I like the fact that it says that, you know, because he said that it's a mustard seed, something small, but the seed is the word. The seed is the word, not just the word. The seed is what are you speaking? What are you sowing into your future? What are you sowing into your life? What are you sowing that's going to have the dominion of the king, right? You know, like I have my domain, you know, which is my house, you know, and that's my domain. God has his domain, which is the earth and the fullness. But now he wants us, like Adam, we have to go forth and take dominion. Because Satan is the god of this world. So the only thing that can change in this world right now is us. Because God won't go against his world. God won't just step in until somebody prays. He can't. He gave dominion of the world to Adam. Adam fell and gave it to Satan. That's why he's the god of this world. So if we want change in our family, our schools, our government, we need to pray because God will not move unless a man prays. That's how he gets dominion because he cannot go against his word until the lease runs out. He cannot just step in because he goes against his word because he said, Adam, it's yours. The earth is yours. Dominion is yours. Like I say, Adam submitted it to the enemy. So that's why he's the god of this world, small g, but so God needs a man to speak. He needs a man to pray. God needs a man or a woman to move on this earth so that he can move. And that's what's so important as a church and as a body of believers is you want the city to change, it's us. Amen? It's our prayers. You want your neighborhood to change, it's your prayers. That's the way we go. 1 Samuel 16, 12 to 13 says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. He's talking about David. It's me. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for he is he. So Samuel anointed David, do the short one, and he went that day forward. He was anointed as king. The thing that's kind of neat is at this point, David went back to the sheep until he came forth later as a king. But as New Testament believers, because I used to think, okay, my time is coming. I'll be like David. I'll go sit with the sheep, you know, even though I've been, you know, I'm a believer. But that's David. That's a principle. As New Testament believers, once you're born again, you can go out and lay your hands on the sick. You can go out and cast out devils because the authority is yours. Your authority doesn't get any stronger. We might have more knowledge of what the word does, but we are anointed. Once you're born again, you're as anointed as you were if you've been somebody who's been saved 30 years. It's just our problem is sometimes I find, like with myself, after being saved, and sometimes you can get into a lull. Sometimes you can get. So, you know, I was saying to Kathy the other day, I said, you know, there are times when I used to do this and do that. And now it's like, oh. And you know, that happened to David. He became king. And it says later on that he was sitting there. It says there was a time for battle. So all the men went out to battle. He stayed home. He got complacent. He's like, I don't need to go. You know, then he looked over another roof. It's Bathsheba. You know, I used to think, why was she out there? None of the men were supposed to be there. All the men that were able-bodied were supposed to be at war. Not at war, but at negotiations. They were all supposed to be there. David was not supposed to be in there. So he was as wrong for being there. Then he got himself into trouble. Sometimes we get complacent because we're like, you know, we got out of debt because the word says, you know, to do these things, to be faithful with your money, and we started sowing, we believing, and we got out of debt. You know what happened a year later? Because we didn't keep our mind renewed, we were back in debt. So we got out of debt again, renewed our mind, and stayed out of debt. Sometimes you can get complacent. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm set free from nicotine. And you've not spoken for 2 or 3 years. Oh, he's having one. Maybe I'll just have one. Next thing you know, you bought a pack. Speaking from experience. I couldn't believe it. Like, I come home, and she's like, my wife's got a nose, like Pastor talks about his smell. She can smell a cigarette half a mile away. What were you doing? Nothing. It was Bob in the car. She's like, no, it wasn't. But that didn't last long because it's like, I'm set free from nicotine, you know? But the thing is, we got to make sure that we have the king in us. But we got to make sure that the kid in us doesn't rule the king in us. We got to make sure we are mature in what we're doing. We keep our mind renewed on the word of God, amen? Stop from being complacent. So we have to realize that the kingdom is like a seed. We need to sow. We need to plant seeds in our life, plant seeds in our family, plant seeds in our workplace. By the seed is the word. So speak life over your family, life over your workplace, life over your city, life over situations in your life, right? Seek what the word says. Not just a general, oh, God, what do you want me to do? But get down, Lord, what scripture do you have for me, right? And then when you get that word, keep it fresh. Replenish it all the time. And then also make sure that we don't get complacent. I read the Bible. Or I heard Pastor preach on faith before. Yeah, so what? Listen again. You'll get something new every time. I've heard Pastor preach on faith probably thousands of times. The same sermon, ABCs of Faith. But I love it because you get something new each time. Something new each time. I've heard, you know, Mac Hammond do a marriage thing. Same one. I get something different out of it. And not just the same one. Okay, maybe it's a different week. But actually the same CD. And you get something new out of it, right? So we don't get complacent with the word. Don't let the kid in you rule the king in you. And then also the kingdom, I was going to skip down to Romans 3, 24, 26. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, I declare that this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. It's that we are. We don't have to wait. The kingdom in your life is now. It's not past tense. It's not what God did. And it's not, what did I do? It doesn't matter. You're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven, not just till the day you got saved, but when he forgave your sins past, present, and he's already forgiven tomorrow's sins. That's an amazing thing. We are justified right now, just as if I've never sinned. You know, you sit there and the word says to confess, oh Lord, forgive me. When you know something comes to mind, forgive me, Lord. But if I do something, and because sometimes we can sin and not realize it, you know, have a thought, whatever. But I love the fact that the kingdom of heaven is present tense. It's not past tense, and it's not future tense. Oh, in this, you know, the last days when it come, you go to heaven. No, it's now. Being saved is not a get out of hell card. It's about walking in the righteousness and the kingdom of God and the authority he has given man today. Amen? Because how are other people going to know unless we walk in the kingdom of God? Unless we know how to lay hands on the sick. Unless we know how to minister to the poor. Unless we know how to minister to those that are down and out. You might not be perfect. I'm not perfect at it. There are sometimes it's like, oh, I don't, you know, you talk to somebody like, I don't know how to minister. But the Spirit of God, well, you don't have to give chapter and verse, you know. You don't have to sit there and say, well, I know John 3:16 says. All you got to say, you know what? The Bible says that God loves you. And he's given his son for you. You know, it's just an example. You don't have to know chapter and verse to minister. You just got to know the word in the sense of, you don't have to sit there and quote. You know, just know what the word says. Know that God loves people. And he wants us to love people and to be able to spend time with people and to minister to people. Amen? You know, and I love the fact that I'll end with, well, yeah, Romans 14:17. I went back up again, Luke, sorry. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Like Jesus said, it's not about what we eat that defiles us. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I love this. It's, the kingdom of God is not about keeping the Sabbath, not eating pork, not eating fish, about making sure I wear a tie at the pulpit. That's not the kingdom of God. It's not about outside things. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's about what's on the inside of us as believers. Sorry. It's about what's on the inside. The kingdom of God is about us as believers, the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, we are, like I said, we are right standing with God right now. We have joy. Not happiness. Happiness is an emotion. This is joy, spirit. It's a different thing. This joy is not based on whether you're feeling happy or not. There's a joy that comes. It's like the peace. Peace, Jesus said, I'll give you peace the world doesn't understand. Because we can have peace in the situation of a layoff, or we can have peace in the situation of a death in the family. We can have peace while the world around us falls apart. We can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit even when Trump puts more tariffs on, right? Like Pastor said when he's talking about praying. It's not based on the outward sign. We got to renew our mind to the fact is, what does the Word have? What does the Holy Spirit have on the inside of us? And allow that to come out. Your healing will be placed here and then come out. Your prosperity, you have to get in here, then not here, here, and then come out. Your deliverance will come from here, realizing that you are set free. You are been redeemed, right? Now, we have to work on some of these things, not like a worse mentality. We have to make sure that, you know, if I've been set free from, you know, like I'm happily married 28 years this June, I don't go to strip clubs. I don't look at, you know, magazines and stuff like that, because I don't even look at like Maxim or Swimsuit or whatever that's called, of girls that are not nude. Because you know what happens is, because I've heard this, that your mind will start to compare your lady. Oh, she's not 5'10". I like a woman that's 5'10". She's never going to be 5'10". You put 6-inch heels on her, she'll still not be 5'10". But you know what I mean? So we have to do our part as believers to watch that, but we've got to make sure that we know that these things come from inside. Amen? Kingdom faith only says what our king would say. Your kingdom faith only comes what the king says. It's what's in the word. And our faith declares the beginning or the end from the beginning. You ever notice that? God always speaks the answer. You go through the Old Testament, he talks about the cross. He talks about the virgin birth. None of it happened yet. He's always speaking the answer. A virgin is going to conceive. 700 years later, a virgin conceived. The virgin is going to conceive in Bethlehem. He always speaks the answer. Always speaks the end. Before the beginning. And we have to do that. I am healed. You don't look like it. Doesn't matter what I look like. I'm healed. Right? Amen? 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 Let's get you to stand for a second. So remember, the kingdom of God is not complicated. Just speak what the word says. You know, it says in Psalm 107, I believe, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
I'm prosperous.
I'm prosperous.
I'm God's favorite.
I'm God's favorite.
And I'm victorious.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this night. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you, that they will come to a knowledge of you. And they will just come.